I should know better by now, shouldn't I? Before proceeding with business, may I invite our chaplain to say prayers. Thank you. Please be seated. I welcome fellow members, ladies and gentlemen, to this meeting of the Council. Please ensure that your mobile telephones and anything else which might interrupt the meeting are switched off. Do all councillors have a meeting of the agenda papers? In case it's necessary, I will outline the emergency evacuation procedures. I don't believe we're expecting any practices. For those of you towards the back of the room, leave by the route of the door you came in. In this corner is the alternative exit. Item two, are there any apologies for absence?
Mr. Chairman, apologies from Councillor Maud.
Yeah. Councillor Burr as well.
Councillor Aikum.
Councillor Aikum as well, indeed. Any more? Councillor Shields. Late. Okay. All right. Agenda item three, public question time. There is no public question. Agenda item four, minutes. We should approve as a correct record minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on 21st of February 2019. You will recall it ended on the 28th of February. As chairman of council, I move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 21st of February 2019 be approved and signed as a correct record. May I have a seconder? Councillor Ives. Unless a member has an amendment to change the minutes with the words to be included or deleted, which I can put to the vote, I will move to the vote on approving the minutes as drafted. Members, please, can you cast your votes now?
Chairman, that's 22 votes for and 3 abstentions.
The minutes are carried. Agenda item 5, urgent business. There are no items of urgent business. I will, however, just for the sake of, in case anybody's wondering, there will be urgent business. I will make a small announcement at the end of the meeting, towards the end of the meeting, agenda item 10. Agenda item 6, declarations of interest. Do any members have any interest to declare under the Members' Code of Conduct? I will take as read any county councillor members in case that comes up, but are there any other declarations of interest to record? No. Agenda item 7, there are no further announcements. Item 8, to consider for approval the recommendations in respect to the following Part B committee items. Policy and Resources Committee from the 14th of March 2019, Minute 94, Curbside Recycling Service, it's on page 17 of your agenda papers. Councillor Ives, please briefly introduce this recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this report has partly come out of the Resources and Waste Strategy that was published by DEFRA in December 2018, which proposes a series of changes to recycling. However, those will not be fully implemented until 2023 and are subject to consultation. In the immediate term, however, one of the main elements of this recommendation is to invest in new equipment so that a hard box will be provided to recycle paper and cardboard boxes to reduce the health and safety risk to our refuse collectors. The recommendations also secure a short-term strategy for RDC to take positive action to develop and deliver increased recycling performance through the current curbside recycling service within 2019 and 2020. There are 6 recommendations that were supported unanimously at the Policy and Resources Committee, which I can summarise briefly as follows. Number 1, procure 1 additional vehicle to provide additional resilience and an additional capacity. Number 2, that will entail an increase to the revenue budget of £100,000, £45,000 of which will be felt within the current financial year due to the additional lease costs. Number 3, a capital budget of £100,000, £75,000 for the boxes and the procurement of those, and £25,000 to refurbish all mini recycling centres. Number 4, to update the current household waste collection policy to reflect these changes. 5, one-off spend of £20,000 through a proactive media campaign to raise awareness of the current curbside recycling services provided. And number 6, that officers continue to assess the impacts of the resources and waste strategy published by the government early this year, like I said, which is currently subject to consultation and should come into effect in 2023, which will have wide-ranging implications, including the potential for us to have to collect food waste. Happy to take questions, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any questions for Councillor Ives? Councillor Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I wonder if the Chair of P&R could confirm whether the boxes we're supplying are going to be lidded for cardboard, because if you have wet cardboard, it becomes extremely heavy.
Yes, this was discussed at the Policy and Resources Committee, and I can confirm that is the case. What was also raised at the Policy and Resources Committee happened to be on a very windy day, when I know from travelling around north to myself there was an awful lot of plastic that had flown all over the place, and you know, which caused, I'm sure, a huge amount of effort for our collectors. I can confirm that plastic lids are available for the current boxes, although they have not been provided up front. This time they will be provided up front, and I would encourage anyone who wants a lid to request one, because they are available.
Supplementary? No. Any other questions? Councillor Shields.
Thank you, Chairman. I noticed the introduction of food waste collection. But are there any proposals for collecting those black trays? A question which Councillor Miss Keel and I raised in a motion last year. you know, the ones that you put on for four apples or vegetables or meat and so on. Is there any possibility of collecting that sort of stuff, which at the moment, of course, we cannot do? Thank you.
Thank you. The new vehicles do provide increased flexibility, which will allow us to introduce additional services in the future. One of the reasons why we have held off introducing any new services at the moment is pending the outcome of the national strategy, because clearly things like food waste look like they're going to become a statutory requirement, and so it's only right that that situation develops nationally, and then after that we can reflect on our own operational practices, and it may be that we wish to introduce new services in the future. I do think, and we are receiving a report from the scrutiny committee later on this evening, I think everyone acknowledges that when it comes to plastics, we absolutely do need to do more to reduce plastic usage to a minimum and also encourage the maximum recycling. So yes, that can be part of the consideration moving forward.
Do you have a supplementary? Councillor Jowett.
Thank you, Chair. Could you tell us whether the current round of increase in the number of recycling collection vehicles is actually fully implemented yet, and the alterations to make them work properly? Thank you.
Yes, I can confirm that's recently been the case. So we did have one in trial for quite a period of time, which eventually we sorted out the teething problems, and the new operational arrangements are in place.
Thank you.
Councillor Wainwright.
Thank you, Chairman. Hovingham is fortunate in being one of the very few villages in Rydale that has its own recycling centre. Can I be assured that one too will be refurbished in this present scheme?
Yes, just wanted to confirm that, but the plan is for every recycling centre within the district, within the huge area of Rydale, everyone will be refurbished.
Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. I've got two questions. The first one is, as food waste collection is a policy of this council, or at least looking into it, I wonder if Councillor Ives could tell us why this has not happened in the 2 years that he's been the chair of P&R?
I wish that the chairman of P&R came with such executive responsibility to just implement something like that. As you'll be aware, Councillor Clark, over the past 8 years since there was a Conservative leader, new methods of collection have been introduced. So I think it was around 2012 those came into force. And like I said, the policy of this council is to look at food recycling, but there is no point doing that until the national strategy is confirmed and also the national requirements are confirmed.
Supplementary.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yes, I can understand that logic. I'm just not convinced that the not looking into it for best part of 10 years in total now is quite justified by the fact that the government's going to bring out a strategy in 2023. But maybe you've an explanation or can blame somebody else before you. I only asked about it for your 2 years. And are you not in a position to encourage officers? You're not in an executive role, but you're not in a position to encourage officers to deliver policies that your group and everybody else voted for?
Over the past 2 years, we have implemented new collection vehicles which have much increased flexibility and give us the option of introducing new services in the future.
Any further questions? Councillor Clark.
Uh, a skill you have developed, Councillor Ives, of not answering the food waste question by telling me what something else has been done. So on that basis that you said earlier in your report that you'd noticed the climate change report later in the agenda, what considerations did your committee give and analysis of, etc., to the use of electrical or hydrogen-powered vehicles for collecting recycling?
One of the problems is, Councillor Clark, is that there's only one vehicle in the country that is used for the purpose of refuse collection that's electric, and there are no recycling vehicles in the country. And so whilst it's our case saying we should have introduced electric vehicles, the fact is it's not been possible to procure any unless you advocate Rydal District Council spending its entire budget developing such a vehicle. However, you will note that Rydal now has electric charging points, including in St Nicholas Street car park in Norton, which provides a new place for residents to charge vehicles, alternatively visitors to the area. And I'm sure, as Councillor Clark will be aware, we do have visitors far and wide come to Malton and Norton, and now users of electric vehicles will have a place to charge their vehicle.
If there are no further questions, Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Ives, you are excelling yourself. I asked a question about looking into hydrogen and electric vehicles for recycling collection, and you reply on how we could, or anybody else could, charge their vehicles if we had them. I was actually asking you about the vehicles itself. And telling me that we've introduced charging points doesn't collect, I wouldn't have thought, a lot of waste, but maybe I'm missing something. Chair?
Did you not listen to the first part of the question, Councillor Clark?
Very carefully,
Chair. Stated that there is no recycle vehicles in the country that are electric, and there is only one example of a refuse vehicle that is collected, and unless you're advocating spending the whole council budget on developing such a vehicle, it's not been possible to procure one because there isn't any. Sense of deja vu, Mr. Chairman.
Councillor Potter.
Thank you, Chair. Will this national strategy address the issue of uniformity in recycling, or more to the point, lack of uniformity among local authorities?
Yes, that is one of the thrusts of the strategy, to look at how more options of recycling can be provided, and you'll have seen some of the eye-catching things that have been announced in the policy, such as bottle collection and the deposit scheme. So yes, that's clearly the intention of the government. I have made the point before that I do think that if you look across North Yorkshire, we've got seven district councils, each with their own refuge collection procedures and practices and operating schemes, and given that the county council ultimately are responsible for the disposal of that waste, it's not an efficient system, and it does mean that you can have one house next to the other where different collections take place, and it's quite ludicrous. So I completely agree with that. I do think as a district council we shouldn't just be looking at what we can do within our own borders to improve collection rates, but what we can do working with others across boundaries to increase them, and also deliver a more efficient and cost-effective service to the taxpayer.
Nobody has indicated, therefore, Councillor Ives, please move the recommendation, and once it is seconded, you may make your speech.
I move the recommendation, Chairman.
Seconded.
For the last time, Chairman, yes.
Seconded by Councillor Stephen Arnold. Councillor Ives, would you make your opening speech?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think overall this is a positive set of recommendations that we are looking at. We are improving the health and safety for our workforce, and hopefully we are offering a better way for our residents to recycle. It's far better to put it in a box. It's easier to do that than having to put it in a bag, and it's also, I believe, better for health and safety perspective for residents. There's also the increased flexibility in the future when it comes to recycling, and the investment that we're making in the vehicles provide that additional layer of resilience. The only concern, however, is the impact on the budget, and I've been quite clear before when we've had discussions about the financial situation moving forward, is that we do face testing times ahead. We haven't got this land of plenty. We haven't got a money tree in the garden that we can go to. And so when you face cost pressures like this, we have to be mindful about the impact on the remainder of the budget. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Councillor Arnold, you wish to speak? Does anybody wish to speak for it? Councillor Paul Andrews.
Yes, Chair. I wish to propose an amendment, and two amendments, but I'll start with the first one, and that is that the officers be instructed to prepare a report on the implications of doing weekly green bin collections during the school holidays. I have a seconder.
So I think this is an addition rather than an amendment per se, isn't it? And Roman numeral small 7, VII, that the officers be instructed to prepare a report on the implication of doing weekly green bin collections during the school holidays. And that's proposed by Councillor Paul Andrews, seconded by Councillor Jowett.
Could the clock be put back to zero, please?
Councillor Andrews.
Yeah, Chair. We have the purpose of this proposal is not to actually ask the council to do anything apart from instruct the officers to prepare a report. So I'm not actually asking the council to spend any money at this stage. Insofar as money is concerned, we do, as I understand, have £2 million, which has been put into reserves, I understand. So it may be possible, we hope, that some money might be found somewhere to authorise this proposal. And that would, of course, be one of the matters that would be considered in the officer's report. The point is that young families in the school holidays are under particular pressure, as I found out during canvassing exercises over the last few weeks, and a lot of them are restricted to using only small green bins, because if you remember, we did have the large green bins, and those large green bins were replaced for small green bins for families of five for families of four and less than four. If you have a family of five, you are entitled to a large green bin again. I also have concerns about environmental issues. We see the amount of fly tipping, and I think a lot of the fly tipping the rubbish which is dumped in the roads is perhaps as a result of there not being sufficient refuse collection services available. And what people do is, whether they can go to the tip or not, they just get irritated, and so they vent their frustration by throwing things at the side of the road. I'm not condoning that in any way whatsoever, but I do think this is a matter. This is an issue which should be looked at again. I'm not suggesting we should go back to weekly green bin collections. I'm just talking about the school holidays. And I do hope members will give favourable consideration to this, particularly, as I say, I'm only suggesting that at an officer's report be produced. I'm not suggesting that we actually implement my proposal. Thank you.
Councillor Jowett. Does anybody else wish to speak for or against? Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just concerned that there isn't an environmental logic behind this, and I'm concerned it isn't of no cost, because any officer's report has got some cost. Now, that doesn't make it the cost of the same as doing it, I accept that. But we've moved away from weekly collections. The amount of waste per household, Councillor Andrews smirks, but there we are. The amount of waste produced per household, despite all government figures, has gone down. The government believed it was going to go up at so many kilograms per year. It hasn't. It's gone the other way. And it's gone the other way because in environmental terms, what should be happening is we should be reducing it, reducing our overall usage. We should be reusing. And then the third step is recycling. Now, if you just say, here you are, give as much space as you want, it's fine, it's electorally popular. But it doesn't help to reduce it. And that is the problem that we've got. In money terms, it's going to be costly. In environmental terms, it's going to be costly. And I think having had gone through the pain of going the other way, it would be ludicrous now to go, oh, look, let's go back to weekly collections. I can't see any point for it, any argument for it whatsoever, but I look forward to Councillor Andrews' summing up, which no doubt will tell me why this is environmentally sound and why it won't cost and why it won't be, in general terms, because there's no point in spending officers' time and money on something that doesn't look like even a starter. Thank you, Chair.
Nobody else has indicated. Councillor Jowett, a seconder, do you wish to speak at this time? Councillor Andrews, right to reply.
Yes, Chairman. It may well be that the amount of waste that people are producing is less. It may well be that they're using more recycling methods and finding ways of reusing materials. But the fact remains that the roads are full of rubbish. And one way of reducing that rubbish is to make sure that rubbish is collected by the local authority, and when it goes onto the road, it is not being done. I'm really surprised that Councillor Clark, with all these environmental credentials, should be opposing this suggestion. As I said before, all the aspects that he has put forward, all his arguments, can be tested if the officers do a report. And that's all I'm asking for. I do not believe that the officers would have to take a lot of time, but it would bring the matter back to the council, and we could then have a proper discussion, a full discussion, on all the issues that Councillor Clark has raised. Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Ives has moved the original motion. Do you want to say anything?
So let's just clarify what Councillor Andrews is proposing, that for only 6 weeks of the year, we double our collections. Now, the biggest cost within street scene, within the depot, is not the cost of the employees' wages, but the cost of the vehicles. So to double collections, you're going to have to double vehicles, okay? We've just, this report is suggesting we get another vehicle at a cost of £100,000, so the total fee would be four. To move forward with this, we would need four new vehicles, which would lie dormant 48 weeks of the year. No, 46 weeks of the year, sorry. £400,000 for only 6 weeks' worth. What is the value in that? Now, also, we would need to double our workforce for those 6 weeks, and we need to double it during the school holidays. Now, anyone who runs a business, anyone who has to manage people knows that you always face difficulties in the summertime, and yet Councillor Andrews wants to double our workforce in that time. He wants to do a big recruitment campaign only to make those people redundant 6 weeks later. Now, I get that he's saying it's only to produce a report at this stage, but why don't we produce a report, Council Andrews, and do an hourly collections? Why don't we do a report in making waste disappear? The reason we don't do that is because it's lunacy, and you know it's idiocy from the start. This is lunacy. Anyone can see that. Anyone who gets a calculator out can see that. And if you really want to go to the electorate to say, right, we will double collections for 6 weeks at the year at a cost of in excess of £500,000, you be my guest. Thank you.
Before I go to the vote, and it's probably my last chance to say, lunacy is a bit of a strong word. Inappropriate, maybe, if you believe that, but let's not start using words that might come back as us. Anyway, I've said it. The amendments, Councillor Andrews.
Can I just point out to Councillor Ives, I'm not sure how long the school holidays are, but I'm talking about the summer holidays, the Easter holidays, and the Christmas holidays.
The motion has been moved, seconded and debated, and I think we've all got the message about what the argument for or against are. I will put it to the vote.
Chairman, that's 2 votes for and 24 against.
The amendment is defeated. We will therefore return to the original motion. Councillor Andrews, you did say you had a second amendment.
Point of order, Mr Chairman. Councillor Andrews cannot move an amendment because it's not changed since the movement of his last amendment.
May I move the amendment, Chair?
Just take advice for a moment. Yeah, you've had your chance. If somebody else can move an amendment, and if there's business to be done, you need to move up pretty quickly, get the amendment moved swiftly. Councillor Clark, we're on the original motion now.
I'll repeat that because I didn't have the mic switched on. I've been holding my hand up for an amendment. So Councillor Andrews has lots of time unless it fits in with the Constitution as quoted to us by Councillor Ives, who we know is an expert on the Constitution because he's managed to avoid it for nearly 3 years now.
Have you an amendment on this motion?
I have, Chair, yes. I'm just, you allowed Councillor Ives to discuss the Constitution, and Councillor Andrews was hit with the Constitution, so I thought we were discussing the Constitution. I obviously missed that bit. I have an amendment here for you, Chair. Moved, written, seconded, everything. No, please, no, I enjoy the walk. The exercise should be good. I'll sit down, it won't be.
Moved, seconded, and legible. Is this an addition?
I'd like to point out, Chair, I didn't write it, which is probably why.
So, is this an addition? This is a little 1A. Before proceeding with A.
This is little 1A is what is there.
Yes.
This is B. Does it not have a B on
it? No, it doesn't.
Ah, oh, well then, in which case I should have written it myself. And
that's
it,
all right.
It wouldn't have been able to have read it.
So, this is an addition to what's already gone before on the original motion. B. Before proceeding with A, officers are requested to investigate and report the feasibility of using electric/hydrogen vehicles. Presumably electric hydrogen propelled vehicles. The report to come back to PNR and full council if appropriate. And it is proposed by Councillor Clark, seconded by Councillor Taunton. Councillor Clark, would you present your amendment?
Thank you, Chair. You have the neatly written out wording there, and it's the full council, if appropriate, applies to. So maybe it should be in brackets alongside the full council, if appropriate. It needs to go to P&R because that is where it would go.
I think as you've written it, it's quite clear to me what's the procedure.
It would go to P&R and, if appropriate, full council. I'm happy with that. Maybe it was the way I heard it. Chair, we've got the impact on the budget, was a comment from the chair of P&R. And yes, absolutely right. And the impact of Councillor Andrews' amendment on the budget. Absolutely right. But what about the impact on the environment? And there was a brief mention in P&R and a question, but it has gone no further. And my belief is that there are electrical vehicles out there. There are hydrogen vehicles out there, and that we should be looking at that. We're not in a rush with this. We haven't got two broken down vehicles and we need to replace one quickly. We can replace this one and do it properly. Now, if there aren't any, and it's no good just doing a quick Google search, you need to do a little bit more than that. But if there aren't any, then there aren't any. And we ought to be writing to the manufacturers and whatever, saying, why aren't there any? Because that's the only way you get change. And if there are, then we ought to be looking into it. Now, if the price is three times as much, then you're into a position where Councillor Ives has commented the impact on the budget becomes serious, and you probably can't afford to do it. But if the cost is similar, then we should be looking at it and doing it as a matter of course. And on that basis, Chair, I move the amendment, and if my colleagues will stand, I'm hoping that we will be asking for a recorded vote at the end of this amendment. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Thornton, do you wish to speak?
I'll reserve my right, thank you.
Councillor Raper.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm intrigued with this particular proposal. As many of you know, I've been working in the bus industry until retirement recently, and huge numbers of buses are currently electric. There's a swap over and a move across, and it's going in mega buckets in that direction currently, because places like Leeds are putting a huge tax on diesel vehicles entering the city, and many other cities and urban conurbations around about are doing similar. London is leading the way on this. If you go into London, it costs you £45 to take a diesel vehicle in for the day. You come back out and go back in again the same day, it's another £45 each time you go in. So a vehicle making multiple drops in London can get clobbered hard. There are the vehicles available today. The Morton Depot has some now. Leeds, First York are moving across as much of their fleet as they can possibly do, as quickly as they possibly can afford it, to a whole electric fleet. So it's not out of the window, is this? The idea is sound. The technology is there. It's a matter of what vehicles have been converted to do this. And the conversion isn't that difficult from what I understand. But hydrogen is another one that hasn't been taken that far as yet. And I'm assuming that some places, at some point, hydrogen vehicles or hydrogen-fueled vehicles will also come on stream in the near future. So I'm warming to the idea that to look at this is a good idea, as opposed to the previous one from Councillor Andrews. But Yeah, I'm intrigued on this one, and I think it's a way forward. We can look. It doesn't harm us to look.
Nobody else has indicated to me. Councillor Thornton, a seconder, do you wish to speak at this point?
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, when I'm in doubt or uncertain, I ask Mr. Google, you know, ask a friend. And he's been very helpful, actually, because there seem to be quite a lot of these electric vehicles emerging over the last couple of years or so. And they've been trialled in the City of London, in Greenwich, and in Kirklees. I think 50 of them have been produced by Volvo. So it's going mainstream. And there is a company, Lightspeed, and their prediction from the running costs, the savings on the running costs, is that within 5 years, probably nobody will be looking to buy a diesel refuse truck or recycling truck. Now, Mr. Google was very helpful in telling me that sometimes the fuel costs can be as much as 50% reduced. The operating of a refuse vehicle is really hard on the vehicle in that it's stop-start, and it's a huge weight to get going, and it's a huge weight to stop. And so there's a lot of wear and tear, a lot of maintenance, a lot of cost in fuel, and a lot of hard wear on the brakes. Well, if you have an electric vehicle, you regenerate electricity when you brake, so you're not using your brake drums or your brake pads or whatever. It's just putting it back into the tank. So it reduces wear and tear on the vehicle, and it reduces the cost of the servicing of the vehicle. It's very helpful in terms of the nitrogen dioxide levels, because stopping and starting is really bad for nitrogen dioxide pollution. And they can be fitted with petrol, diesel, or hydrogen generating systems, so that it can be out on the road all day long without having to go back for a recharge. So you have a little generator on board which can be silenced and be very efficient. So I think there will be more than one vehicle in the country, in the UK. There's a range of trucks available, and I think we should look into it and look into the five-year costs, because the costs of running them and maintaining them are very much reduced. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Clark has proposed with the amendment. Do you wish to speak? Reply.
Thank you, Chair. I'm confused, I think would be the best way of viewing this. I have support here from an alleged climate change denier telling me categorically that this is becoming not mainstream yet, but is the way forward, with lots of large vehicles in towns where there is pollution and air quality questions. It's obvious in a country area like this we don't have any air quality conditions, question marks and problems anywhere. Because presumably our present vehicles just don't go through Moulton, Norton, or some way around that, or maybe the roads are closed off and heavy goods vehicles can't go through them, or whatever. Have I been dreaming all that lot for the last X years? And we're told by Councillor Ives that one of the problems, let's approach it from the positive angle, one of the problems is there's only one refuge vehicle and no recycling vehicles, in the answer to my question earlier. That may be true. But it doesn't sound totally true when I'm listening to a report of Mr. Google. And it doesn't sound as though it is completely true according to Councillor Raper. And on that basis, this amendment is asking the officers to look into it. and on the basis that we should be looking into everything in relation from a climate change angle, from a reducing greenhouse gases, and possibly, Mr. Google might be right, but I try not to lean on Mr. Google on the basis that sometimes it isn't. But if the cost is less, that would even suit Councillor Ives's judging and measuring everything on the financial scale. But let's look at this from an environmental angle, because we are hopefully about to update our climate change policies after a considerable length of time, and this is one of the things in the recommendations that we should be doing. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Ives, move the original motion. Do you wish to reply?
Thank you. This has already been looked at. It was questioned at the Policy and Resources Committee, and we heard a clear response to that question that there is only one refuse vehicle in the country that is operated by electric, and there are no recycling vehicles operated by electric. Now, Councillor Thornton refers to Mr. Google. I too can speak to Mr. Google, and by typing it in, I come to exactly the same press release that you were referring to regarding the Greenwich project, dated the 15th of January 2019, the world's first electric refuse collection vehicle, which is only a matter of months ago, and there are, like I said, no recycling vehicles. Now, going back to Councillor Raper's point, yes, in terms of buses, the developments there are very much ahead of refuse vehicles. And, you know, that's to be welcomed. And I think it's very likely in the future that buses in London, for example, will be going down the electric route. And I know that York is looking at them as well. That's to be welcomed. And I think, you know, the points that you've made about it being more efficient, about it potentially being more cost-effective over the long term, those are absolutely true, but they will be true in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time, because electric is absolutely the future, and I don't think anyone denies that. But when you are in a situation where there is only one refuse vehicle in the world, there are no recycling vehicles, that's been reported at the Policy and Resources Committee. By requesting a further report on it, it's almost like we're doubting the information that we have received. As you can see, I've seen the same Google information that you have, Councillor Thornton. It states there is only one. And all that we're doing by requesting this report is to delay, 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 when actually it's important we move forward with this so we can offer the additional services and provide that additional resilience, rather than going round in circles and find out what we already know that's already been reported to the Policy and Resources Committee, and anyone can find out by going to Mr. Google, as you referred to, Councillor Thornton. Thank you.
The amendment has been proposed, seconded and debated. We will go to the vote.
We did.
Chairman, that's 8 votes for, 17 against, and 1 abstention.
The amendment is defeated. We'll therefore go back to the original motion. Does anybody else wish to speak for or against the original motion? No. Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. Well, so here we go. We believe in climate change, and we're going on down the same road as we've always gone down, purely measuring the world in money. That's fair enough. Not a problem for a trainee accountant to go down that route. That's what you'd expect. But he struggles with numbers, Chair, when he gets to anything above one. Because if we had a vehicle that was electric for refuse work, that would be the second one in the country. And clearly the company that made the first one does not want to, in any shape or form, have a customer for a second one. I mean, that would be ludicrous. We go into making something and we sell one of them somewhere and they're trialing it and running it and it's on Mr. Google. The last thing that we'd want in that company, is to have anybody showing any interest in a second one. And the last thing we do in that company is to say to a council, we'll help it, service it, look after it, run it for you, all for free. You can have it for half price, whatever, because we want to trial a second one in rural circumstances. Now, that's so ludicrous, I can't see why we'd be looking into it. It's sense to not look into it. Because the motion as it stands now ignores all those possibilities and goes down the same route as we've been going down for the last 10 years, ignore the environment and ignore climate change. And the officer was asked in the meeting, but the officer did not say, I have done an analysis of this work, if memory serves me right. It was, as far as I know, comment in response to one of the councillors. Now, if that's not accurately what the officer said, I apologise, but my understanding was it was an answer to a question there and then, not a considered report. And on that basis, this is typical, money-orientated, carry on where we are in environmental terms, and it'll sort itself out. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Paul Andrews.
Yeah, Chair. Councillor Clark makes some very good points, but I think we all ought to realise that if we're going to do something and action is required more or less straight away, then you can't delay it while you look into something else. If Councillor Clark has put forward his amendment on the basis that there should be a report, that all the officers should do a report on electric vehicles, and that report had come after the implementation of the main recommendations of the report, that would have been all right for me. But the fact that the problem with his amendment was that it was proposing to delay things. I do think, Chair, that something ought to be done about the constitutional rules, because what we have a situation is that council arrives, can sit down there, make no points in opposition in the debate, and then he comes in at the end and introduces points which he hasn't made before and which the proposer has had no opportunity to deal with. And I really do think that should be looked at, because it is actually unfair.
Nobody else. Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. When you really ask Google to see what does he mean, he says there's only one fully electric garbage truck in the UK. There's hydrogen, there's the ones that I said with a little diesel generator to generate electricity to ensure that they are capable of doing their entire round. And there's a diesel conversion that you can do, a petrol generator that you can put on. They're very configurable. So while there may be only one fully electric, which goes only on electric with no backup systems at all, you can actually have a truck that generates its own electricity should there be a need. So I think, you know, we're not splitting hairs here. It's important because of the potential of significant savings in long-term use of these trucks. And
quite apart from the climate change aspect of it. So if I've found this out in just a short space of time, I think we should look into it further. Thank you.
Councillor Cowling.
Thank you, Chairman. I think it's inevitable that we will get electric trucks eventually, and undoubtedly there is great potential for them to save us money and for them to contribute towards improving emissions in the area. One thing I am absolutely certain about is that Becky will be watching that very closely, and when that day arrives that we can buy them at a reasonable price, that they can operate in our type of geography, and that they will save us money on operating costs and emissions in the area, that she'll be there telling us that it's time we were doing it. But I think a report at this moment in time would be rather premature.
Councillor Oxley, I think you were indicating to speak. Councillor Potter.
Thank you, Chair. I know it's slightly off the point, but just listening to that, we'll get electric vehicles eventually, but there's no call for it at the moment. How many times have we been in a supermarket and they said, oh, there's no call for it? Yeah, we're calling for it. We need to call for it, and now. But hopefully, Becky will be keeping an eye on this, no matter what this council decides. Thank you.
I mean, just to be clear, on the recording, I did not say there was no call for electric vehicles.
Councillor Oxley.
I want to agree with Councillor Cowling. An unusual thing these days. We employ professional people. We pay professional people to do a job. I'm absolutely sure that the officers of this council will be watching this, and as opportunities arise, we'll be bringing them forward. There is a direction of travel here that is inevitable. Slowing things down while we wait to do something is not the answer. We have to act now and rely and trust our officers to actually make sure that this council moves at the pace that this agenda, as fast as this agenda will allow it to move. And yet again, we are going, seems to me, we're going round and round mulberry bushes when we should actually be making decisions and moving on.
Nobody else has indicated. Councillor Steve Arnold, as a seconder, do you wish to speak at this moment?
I spoke to Mrs. Goodall because she talks more sense. For me, yes, electric vehicles will come in. We will have eventually electric vehicles, but I think we should let somebody else develop them, somebody else pay the price, somebody else take the costs, and we'll have one later when they're cheaper.
Councillor Ives has moved with the motion. Please round up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't believe that we should be making decisions in this council chamber based on Google or one's interpretation of Google, because we heard in the argument earlier this thing's all over the internet, and when actually you type in electric vehicle, the first thing that pops up, press release in January 2019, world's first electric vehicle launched. Okay? I think the message from this council is really clear that we believe electric is in the future. We have invested in electric as well. You only need to look at the installation of charging points at our car park to see that. We support the development of low emission technologies, and we will invest in them when appropriate. But to basically try to go down that route now is not the right time. When you actually do some further reading into the projects, have been several years in the making, and there have been trial schemes with a long lead time. We have got an immediate need for an additional vehicle to provide that level of resilience and that capacity that we need to continue to deliver in great services. So, Mr. Chairman, I have absolute sympathy with the what this motion is trying to achieve, but I cannot agree to the timescales in which it is proposing. I would hope that the procurement of these vehicles will be the last diesel ones we buy, and certainly based on how fast the technological, the development of electric vehicles is moving, that I think there's been a lot of encouragement. But like I said, Mr. Chairman, now is simply not the time.
Well, no, we're speaking on the original motion. We are about to vote on the original motion. And Councillor Clark?
We ask for a recorded vote on the final.
It shall be done. Reminder, we are voting on the original motion. It has been moved, seconded and debated. Please vote now.
Chairman, that's 22 votes for and 4 against.
The motion is carried. We now move on to the recommendation from Overview and Scrutiny Committee from the 21st of March 2019. The Scrutiny Review on Climate Change, page 25 of your agenda papers. Councillor Clark, please briefly introduce this recommendation.
I can make that introduction very brief, Chair. There's one thing before I say anything politically or environmentally or anything else. I wish to put it on public record. Two thanks. One is to the councillors that came to the working party. It was all parties and very impressive and very positive. The second is to thank Joss Holmes for her work. It was way and above the normal call of duty and has been the author of trying to keep a random group of people full of brilliant ideas into some sort of order rather than a random group of brilliant ideas that nobody could quite get together. One of the things that motivated me with this is the fact that we've been making decisions and ignored our own climate change policy since November 2008, I think it was. So we've had 10 years when we've had a climate change policy, and we have done nothing about it. We have figures coming through the performance review, checking the council plan, in terms of greenhouse gases, electricity used, and, many of which are bordering on tosh. And I think, through you, Chair, to Councillor Oxley, that if you get a report that appears to be wrong, it is your duty, as an elected representative of the public out there, to say, not this is wrong, go away, you silly person, but to say, I think this might need another look at. And under the Tory control of this council, we've had 10 years of not looking at all. No annual reviews, no five-year updates, nothing on climate change. And this isn't what I was going to say tonight until I realised we've gone 10 years of ignoring our climate change policies. And here we are tonight, where we put forward a very gentle amendment, asking for it to be looked into. And we're not going to. That is, and I'm sorry, Chair, disgraceful if you believe that waiting 5 years, as has been said, is worthwhile when we've got, I think it's 11 years left, it might be 10, if we don't achieve worldwide climate reduction, greenhouse gas reductions, greenhouse gas usage, greenhouse gas production, then the tipping point will be reached. And when that tipping point is reached, Chair, then funny games will really happen. Like the permafrost will start to melt. So I don't mind if this, everybody feels that John's getting on his high horse and making a lecture out of this. I am very, very pleased and positive about the approach we've had to the production of this report. It was brilliant. But we come in here tonight and we're asked to look into it. That's not all. We weren't asked to do it. We're asked to look at it. And we've decided not to look at it. And we're not buying a diesel vehicle for the next 6 months or the next year. That is committing ourselves to a diesel vehicle for the next 5 years. Minimum. And the people who will suffer from that and lose out from it, who are suffering from air quality in Moulton Norton, will lose out. People whose islands have been flooded because of the rise of seawater. What of them? It's not Britain. What's that? Why is that our problem? And I actually thought and have said to everybody in the last 2 or 3 months, Rydale Council, and I thank Councillor Raper because he's moved a long, long way, and I appreciate your support earlier on and your work that you did with us, the rest of us of all parties, on the working party. But the rest of us have still got some way to go. Because if we don't, Brexit, and I was hoping not to mention that tonight, Brexit, all the other problems that we have, whichever way you are on Brexit, all that lot is minute compared, absolutely minute, insignificant, doesn't exist compared with if we destroy the one planet that we're on. Now this report has got recommendations in it, and I hope that it will be adopted. But it isn't just adopting a document to sit on a shelf. It is adopting a document to do something. And if officers are not doing it, it is our place, duty, as world citizens, let alone Rydale, to challenge it. Is there a way of doing this that is environmentally better? And if the evidence comes back it isn't, then there isn't. But to say we will not look at it, having ignored the climate change policy for 10 years, really does take a little bit of persuading. I think that, Chair, is my introduction to it. It's about 3 times as long as I was intending to go. But I did think some of what was said now, because in the real world, when we've done what we've done, it really did need to be said. And I apologise to Council for that, but it really does need to be on the record what I've said. Thank you, Chair. I'll take any questions.
That's a very thorough and comprehensive brief introduction, and hopefully you've covered a lot of what you're going to cover in the movement and the move in the recommendation afterwards. Arthur, any questions for Councillor Clark? In which case, Councillor Clark, please move the recommendation. Councillor Cowling, a question.
Really late putting my hand up there. Councillor Clark, as part of this exercise, did you actually quantify the work that had been done over, say, the last 10 years to contribute towards improving climate change by this council?
I think it's fair to say, and fellow members on the working party could hopefully confirm this, that is something that the climate change review should have been doing every year, or the climate change analysis should have been doing every year, and the review should have been doing every 5. And it hadn't been done. And when you actually looked at the figures, which we all get every quarter, overview and scrutiny and policy, and sometimes full council. You can't tell from that accurately what has happened in electricity use, fuel use, greenhouse gas production, etc. And there's all sorts of classical ones in there, like who's running the swimming pools, and if we're not doing it, then Rydell's doing a lot better. That is not to say that improvements have not been made in this building, in our vehicle use and whatever. They have. But our ability as a council to measure them is fairly weak, and that's what this report is saying, that we should bring the climate change strategy 5-year review up to date and get that ability to measure that, so that I could be saying to Councillor Cowling, yes, we have looked at it and it's achieved 71% of a target of 90%. We can't. It has improved, I believe, but it is a belief, a strong belief, but it's very difficult from the figures we're getting at the moment to actually measure it.
Supplementary.
Thank you, Chairman. So what you're actually saying is that we haven't done the analysis, we haven't done the review. You're not saying that we haven't done any work to reduce pollution and climate change. You're just saying that we haven't reviewed it or analysed it.
Thank you, through you, Chair. I think there have been improvements and there are things that are better. But I really wouldn't like in any way to say that we've done what we should have done. I don't think there's any evidence saying that, because we haven't measured it. And if you're not running your household budget and you don't know how much you're spending on everything, to say it's running efficiently, you might feel it is because you haven't gone bankrupt, but it isn't a very good way of measuring it. And we haven't been doing the measuring, we haven't been doing the looking at, and we haven't been looking at all, little issues like the amount of heat that goes out of this building, because it is, well, it is an insulation engineer's dream or nightmare, depending whether they've been done for having built it like this or whether they can see it as how much they're going to do it up for. This building, in environmental terms, is incredibly question mark. And we haven't even looked at it, is what I'm saying.
Councillor Wainwright, I have you for a question.
Thank you, Chairman. Looking at page 32 of our agenda, recommendation 3, operations, service delivery, little d, says foster the use of alternatives to fossil fuels for travel through promotion of public transport, walking and cycling. Large areas of Rydell are rural and have no public transport. How do you propose, or how did the committee propose, that you would encourage public transport in those areas?
I could make a political point, but I will try not to, but recommend that people don't support a county council's policy that's cut our rural buses. We have got some issues where we can help. Planning is one of them. And we are wanting to look at, and I think we had, was it last council went through, looking at SIL and whatever as to what we could spend the money on. And if we build or give planning permission for an estate, as we just have done in Pickering, and if you want to push a pram to the infant school, you have a Lord knows how far trek all the way round, because planning did not say we must have to the developer a footpath through so that they could push buggies and prams and things to the infant school. Now that's pretty minor, but it helps in the direction we're saying. We're looking at and have been doing the cycle path from here to Pickering. Public transport itself is harder. This council supported RICAT. It's right that it has, and maybe we should be doing more. I know not. I would welcome if I have any involvement, if I'm here next year, it's a bit like sort of, you know, saying to St. Peter, if I'm not here or I am here, whatever, after then. I would look forward to suggestions from Robert as to what could be done in those sort of areas. Very much so. Thank you, Chair.
Do you have a supplementary?
I don't, Chairman. Just to say that I don't have any suggestions. I'm just wondering if your committee has suggestions.
Councillor Paul Andrews.
Yes, Chair. When your committee looked into this, Councillor Clark, did you take into account the need for members to be involved in, for example, looking at air quality in situations where there are officer working parties who don't report back to the full council or full committees, and the result is that the officers do what they think is right without any member supervision or direction. Did your committee look at this?
I could give you a flippant answer to that, but I will stop myself, Councillor Andrews, through you, Chair. We can't sort the whole thing out in a couple of months of working party. But if you notice, you will see on page, mine says 83, but it could not, might not be, probably the first three's tired. Allocate responsibility in scrutiny recommendations. Appoint a member champion for climate change. And assign an appropriate senior officer to the council to lead on climate change. Now, it isn't overview and scrutiny when asked by council to look into climate change our responsibility, and it's not covered by any remit at all, that we should be wondering why there might be meetings in Moulton and Norton of officers in relation to traffic and things there where members are not involved. That really is a full high level P&R, County Council, Rydale involvement, not a climate change issue. So on that basis, no, we didn't go into any detail. And if we'd gone into detail like that, we would have been probably finishing the report somewhere in the 4 years from now term.
Do you have a supplementary, Councillor Andrews? There are no other questions. Therefore, Councillor Clark, please move the recommendation, and once it is seconded, you may make your speech.
I have a problem with seconding it, Chair, because normally my seconder would be Councillor Aitken, but he seems to have avoided coming here this evening. I think he's sort of demob happy, so I so move.
And we have a seconder, Councillor Oxley. Thank you, Councillor Oxley. In which case, Councillor Clark, please make your move of speech.
I think I've covered, as you suggested earlier, a little of the areas as to why we've done this report. I hope I've answered all the questions to everybody's satisfaction. If anybody isn't satisfied with the reply, please... I'm going to say hobble me. I think I've already been hobbled. Nobble me gently after the meeting, and I'll try to give you any more information I can. It was an immense pleasure working on it. It was frightening, the issues that I covered earlier on, of what we hadn't done and what we should have done, etc. I think it is a positive way forward, and on that basis I recommend it to Council. Sorry if that was a bit long, Chair, but there it is.
Councillor Oxley, do you wish to speak at this moment? Does anybody wish to speak for or against the motion? Councillor Cowling.
Chairman, I've absolutely no argument with what's in the recommendations tonight, and I will be supporting it. What I do have concerns about is the way it's being presented by the Chairman of Overview and Scrutiny tonight, as if this Council has never considered climate change, hasn't done anything about it for the past 10 years, and I believe he actually had to admit that he wouldn't like to say we haven't done what we should have done. He said the building had not been looked at. and he said it was frightening what has not been done. Well, those are quite alarming statements to make and basically untrue, because I know that officers have done a lot of work on trying to make this building more sustainable. Bit of a losing battle, I know. You know, it's doesn't lend itself to that. I also know that in most aspects of the work at Rydale District Council, climate change is always considered. This document formalises that process, and yes, we will be ticking boxes and reviewing and analysing instead of just getting on with the job, as we've always done in the past. But yes, I will support formalisation of that process.
Councillor Raper.
Thank you, Chairman. I thank Councillor Clark for allowing me to sit in on the meetings and to take part. It was interesting. I didn't make every single meeting. There's a couple of reasons why. Won't go into those. But the thrust and the direction this report is trying to take us is, and I agree with him a little bit, and I also agree with Councillor Cowling a little bit, that we've been doing some work on this, but it hasn't been sufficient or enough. And sometimes it wasn't the right thing to do at the right time in the right way, in my opinion. The thrust of what we've got in front of us tonight is that we need to do more, and I think that is self-evident in the report that we've got in front of us. We need to do more. I've been told this evening that I'm an archetypal denier of climate change. I still am, Chairman. I do not believe wholeheartedly. There are other things at play. Now, if we were going to say to the world that we need to support Brazil in restoring the rainforest, then that would, at a stroke, in my belief, restore the balance, in many respects, of our climate fluctuations that we're experiencing. But we can't control the sunspot activity, and that is the main driver of our weather. But the things that's happening in Indonesia on palm oil replacing jungle is terrifically important, and that's a commercial thing. And I don't think we'll ever get on top of that. But I think we can go back to Brazil and say, right, let's start turning this back into what it was, a rainforest. They were considered, when I was a child, called the lungs of the world. They're no longer lungs. They're a coughing old man about to die, along with the rest of us, if you're not careful. Thank you.
Councillor Potter.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I'd like to echo what John said about Joss Holmes's commitment, because I think she did an exemplary job on this. So, as individuals and as councillors, are our views and opinions on man-made, what are our views and opinions on man-made global warming? We just heard Councillor Raper's. But are those views based on expert opinion? I repeat, expert opinion. Data and analysis from climate scientists, or are they from something that we heard or read from people with either no or questionable expertise? So this review is based on a report by genuine world experts in climate change, the IPCC, backed up by our own Committee on Climate Change. The consensus is so overwhelmingly serious and imminent that it's even more important than Brexit. Vastly more important than Brexit. And we need to do whatever we can right now. Not in 5 years' time, but right now. And Councillor Cowling's point about things that have been done in this council over the last few years, I would love to think that people have been concentrating on climate change, but I can't help but think that most things, and rightly so in a lot of cases, have been around cutting costs, not just about climate change, because actually the two can go hand in hand. Insulation, improving efficiency, can result in cutting costs. But let's be quite clear that the focus of this report is on the importance of climate change, how imminent it is, the catastrophic effects that it's going to have if you believe the experts and not just people mentioning no particular Lawsons in particular who have some sort of axe to grind. So I'd like everybody to think about what they are concentrating on with this report. Thank you.
Councillor Steve Arnold.
Thank you, Chairman. 35 years ago, I stood up at a Royal Forestry Society meeting when we were talking about the world destruction of forests, and I said that we should be supporting countries that are deforesting their rainforests, and we should be paying them. And the answer I got was, well, you destroyed yours, so why should we, can't we destroy ours? Because we destroyed ours a long time ago. The second time in my life, I'm going to support John. And being as Councillor Raper brought up trees, well, he mentioned Brazil, but it's not just Brazil. It's all other South American countries, and it's India, and it's China, and it's Malaysia, and it's Borneo, and it's all these other countries, but they are destroying their forests because people have got no money. I remember another meeting when we had some officers and government officers of forestry who came to the Star Inn at Helmsley for a meal, and I got a meal there, and I didn't have to pay for it, and that's the only time I've been there. And they talked about when they left Russia, I think it's Romania, I can't remember anyway, and they went back to their own countries, and the country was given back to them, and the people were cutting their trees down. And they were cutting them down because they had nothing else for income. And that's up to us, I think, to support them. Anyway, I've said my bit. I agree with John, but we should also support forestry worldwide. And actually, I support a charity in Africa that it's called Tree Aid, and it encourages local people and provides seeds and encourages local people to grow trees instead of destroying them. And all these trees have got edible things in them. They grind the seeds for food and they can sell them. And from selling the seeds, they can get income and their kids can go to school. And that's in several of the Central African countries. And that's a wonderful charity. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Paul Andrews. Councillor Jarrett.
Thank you, Chair. I sat on this committee, task group, although I'm not actually sure my name was included. I may be wrong. But I believe not only from a climate change perspective, but also from economic reasons, it makes a lot of sense.
I'll briefly interrupt you. You are included on those attending.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
So I believe that not only from a climate change perspective, but also for economic reasons, it makes a lot of sense to examine our use of resources. If we can save money, we benefit the council as well as the world. I believe that the proposals strike a good balance across the board, but it was recognised at the start that the potential scope of that this committee could cover had to be limited, given these self-imposed restrictions. This report gives an excellent start with the option to investigate further opportunities as we progress. So I'll be supporting this motion anyway.
Councillor Paul Andrews.
Yes, Chair, I think this is an excellent report, but I really don't think it goes far enough. You've heard Councillor Clark saying this council has done nothing about climate change. You've heard Councillor Cowling saying yes, it's done plenty in regard to climate change. And there's a difference of opinion between them. The only trouble is that we members don't know what has been done because we don't sit on a particular group of members with officers. So we don't actually, we're not actually told, we're not kept informed, and we just assume that things haven't happened when perhaps they might have done. And this is what has happened with the air quality management area in Malton, which you remember I did suggest that there should be members included in the officer working group some time ago. And again, the officers have done a lot of work. I'm sure they've done masses of work, but really, because there's very little member involvement, in fact, there's no member involvement, we don't know. So when you simply say that allocate responsibility for implementation of the Scrutiny Commission's recommendations by appointing a single member champion for climate change, that, to my mind, is not enough. There needs to be continuing member involvement, and it needs not, and it's not just a one member. There may be an officer group, but there should be more than one member on that officer group. And for that reason, I don't think this report goes far enough. It is particularly important when, for example, you have issues about nitric oxide at Butcher Corner, where we were told by Councillor Duncan last week that it wasn't working, but we're told by other people that actually a decrease of 10% has been achieved by the HGV ban. And again, because members haven't been involved, we don't know. We are not really in a position to make a judgment. We just listen to each other talking, and we assume that the people who we trust most are actually telling the truth, or actually know what they're saying. And I don't think that is good enough. What I'm really saying is, it's all right making recommendations which sound sound really good on the face of it, but unless you actually involve members in the business of climate change, or in the business of monitoring climate change, and unless you involve a fair number of members, you will never achieve anything.
I haven't seen any more hands up. Councillor Thornton.
Thank you, Chair. Just on a point that was raised by Councillor Arnold about poor people and they need to earn money from cutting trees and so on. I've had the honour of living alongside and working for two extremely poor communities. One, the Pokot in northwestern Kenya, where they were living almost a Stone Age existence in complete harmony with nature. And the other, the Kalahari San or Bushmen, who are one of the poorest tribes in the world. And they still recognize that when they take roots from out of the ground, they will take three tubers and put six back so that they can revisit. They are expert at maintaining their environment because they know that they live or die according to the health of the environment. It's only when they look to the west and they see all our toys, our clothes, our alcohol, and all the things that we like, that they wish to have the same, and they become consumers as well. And that is when they lose their relationship with nature, Mother Earth, and they are the ones who are going to first suffer from climate change because they live on marginal land. So we need to take all these considerations much further. But this is an excellent start. The one thing that will make the biggest change for the climate is to stop producing and using fossil fuels. And that has to happen very, very quickly. So we need to think how we can engage with that change immediately, because we have 10 years in which to very, very seriously move away from carbon fuels. Thank you.
Councillor Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm pretty sure there isn't a single member in this room who doesn't agree that we need to tackle climate change. But I want to bring things back to what's happening here, because it's what we can do here. These are the simple little things that we can do. And as I look around this chamber, this side of the chamber are all using iPads, and that side of the chamber are using paper copy agendas. Trees, ink, electricity. Do you know what? I think when we go on about climate change, we need to do the things that we can change here first. And that includes getting on iPads and not having to print paper copy agendas at the cost of trees, the cost of ink, the cost of office time, and the cost of electricity that we don't need to burn.
Is it a personal reply?
Councillor Goodrick makes a good point. We should all be using computers. So why aren't we allowed to use our own computers, and why do we have to be stuck on the council's iPads? Thank you.
I think we're wandering off the subject. Councillor Arnold, you have spoken before. No, I'd love to listen to you about trees, and I wish I could say talk about trees, but, well, no, I think we're wandering off the subject. In all honesty, I think we are. You can speak now if you like, Councillor Ray. Oh, you have actually spoken already. So, no, I think we will round up. Councillor Oxley is seconder. You haven't spoken yet. If you wish to, you may now.
Might be my last chance. Firstly, just to clarify something, I think Councillor Jowett is right. I think the task group should include Councillor Jowett, not just as an attendee at meetings, but that's something I'll let the Chair and he sort out with the appropriate officers. I wasn't expecting to be involved in this task group. I can only say how delighted I was, I have been, to have got involved in it. A number of issues, I think, to pick up from what's been said. I don't think Councillor Clark said that nothing had been done. We were made clear during the work of the task group by Joss and Becky and others what had been done. The issue in many ways was that nobody was sure what had been done because the process wasn't working. So this has been a fascinating exercise at many levels. It's been fantastic to work across party, openly, honestly, and have people talking to each other without getting bogged down in petty politics. And maybe that's something that everybody sat around this table should probably reflect on. Secondly, it would have been far too easy to turn this into another talking shop and try to save the world. But this task group, with the help of the officers, avoided that. And to pick up something that was said on my right, brought it back to things that we can do, which comes to the report. Yes, it's a start, and that's what it is. It's a start on climate change that we need to, I'm sure we will, support, and that we'll move forward. But it's also been to me a salutary lesson in another area, and that is about processes. This is now a process that we will follow. If we don't follow it, we fail. It's no good just writing it down on paper and putting it in a file somewhere and forgetting about it. And that is the problem across many issues with this council. That's what we do. And it's down to members to make sure that that doesn't happen. Officers will do the work they have to do. They will respond to what members ask them to do. But we have to make sure that the processes that should drive this council work. not just on this, but on all other issues. I feel a sense of change. You've heard me bang on for 4 years about process. I do feel a chance that change is happening, but it's something that we, or the somewhere between one and 20 odd of us who might be here next time, I think there's only one for definite, really must ensure happens. So it's been a pleasure to be involved in this. It's a great step forward. I hope everybody will support it. But let's not forget what, in my opinion, is just as big an issue that's come out of this. Let's get the processes in place to make things happen. Thank you.
Councillor Clark, as proposer of the motion, you have the right of reply and round up.
Thank you, Chair. I'll endeavour to cover most of the points. I'll start off with Ed's point. We'll have a look into where you appear in the prize list and where you shouldn't. But I vaguely remember you there, as it were, and on that basis, I vaguely think you might have been.
I tried to maintain a
local. Yes, exactly. And you succeeded admirably, so admirably that you've been missed off at least one or two of the lists. Councillor Cowling never considered climate change. Okay, I'll take Councillor Oxley's answer, and that'll do you for starters. And the second thing is, just have a quick look back through minutes of council meetings, P&R, planning, and see how many references there are to climate change and how many references there are to money. As for this building, anybody who thinks this building is environmentally sound really needs to go on some sort of a training course somewhere pretty quick. Well, we did, through you, Chair, say that it was alarming, that I was alarming, and it was untrue. And we have not done a lot of things. What point I did make is that we haven't looked at our climate change strategy for 10 years. Now, maybe it was a waste of time at that point. Some people have been in charge of this council for 10 years and haven't looked at it. So, Councillor Raper, fascinating position. Climate change is down to sunspots, etc. Couldn't agree with you more. 97% of all scientists have probably got it wrong. And that it is down to sunspots. The only tiny problem with that, and I'm quite happy to agree with you, I've said this in enough conferences and things to frighten people. What happens if with that approach we're wrong? That's the question. I'm not prepared to take the risk. I don't know whether those 97% of scientists are right or not, or whether it's sunspots. They don't know. I don't know. The Google articles on sunspots don't know, but it looks that way to them, right? But we can't take the risk. Flipping back to Councillor's Cowling's comment about whatever, the figures came to every committee for years and didn't make sense. They weren't looked at. And if the officers give us figures and they don't make sense, it's up to us to challenge them. I think I'm nearly there, Chair. I'm very, very disappointed that you closed Councillor Arnold down and didn't allow him to have another reference to trees. That was
be careful I don't close you down. You've gone over the time. Round up, please.
I'm nearly there, Chair. I've only got Paul Andrews left to cover. And that is... Councillor Andrews, you had your opportunity this evening in relation to air quality in Malton. It was called using a refuse vehicle that was driven by electric, and you turned it down. Thank you, Chair.
The motion has been debated. Moved, seconded. Please go to the vote now.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
It is carried unanimously. We'll now go to agenda item 9, proposed amendment to the timetable of meetings at the request of the Chairman of Overview and Scrutiny Committee. It is on the front page of the agenda. Council is requested to approve the following recommendation. I. To add to the timetable of meetings the following note. The Constitution Working Party must meet at least once per municipal year. II, or Roman 2, however you like to read it. That a meeting of the Constitution Working Party take place on 20th of June 2019. Councillor Clark, please move your motion, and once it is seconded, you may make your speech.
I shall move, Chair.
Is that seconded? Councillor Thornton. Councillor Clark, please make your move of speech.
Overview and scrutiny, for my time, passed a motion in relation to behaviour in meetings, timings in meetings and full council, etc. And it was referred by P&R to go to the Constitution Working Party. The Constitution Working Party last met in something like June 2016. My memory serves me right, but a long time ago. And that's fine. We don't need a constitution. We don't need to do things properly, and we don't need to see that processes work, not looking at anybody in particular. I will be staggered if that constitution is anywhere near to accurate. I've had one incident on overview and scrutiny in the Standards Committee. We had a Standards Committee of 3 people. And just to make the point, 2 of them are not here this evening. And if you had a standards inquiry into something and one of those was off sick or whatever, there's nothing in the Constitution, there's anything about replacement, selecting somebody else, so you'd have to either call a scrutiny meeting and kick the other one off, followed by appointing the other one, or wait until that other person came back from their illness before you did it. So we just closed our eyes and went ahead and appointed a substitute. But it's not in the Constitution. The Constitution raised its head today, Chair, and it says, point 33, attendance of member as observer. Non-members of committee have the right to attend the meetings as observers. And I've been to a meeting today where someone was not able to attend as an observer. So maybe we need to look into that. So what we've suggested here is that we have a specific meeting every year. In other words, to add the timetable to the meeting, they must meet once every municipal year. But because that has been debated within the last 6 months, or because that could not be done now, we have to take it through full council. And on that basis, it needs to put in a date for next year, which will then be slotted into place into the new year. And we're suggesting the 20th of June to slot that meeting in there to look at the Constitution. That would cover the overview and scrutiny motion or whatever else. And then from then on, there would be one meeting of the Constitution Working Party, at least one per year. Thank you, Chair.
Are there any questions for Councillor Clark? No, in which case Councillor Thornton has seconded. You wish to speak now?
Thank you, Chair. I reserve my right.
In which case, does anybody wish to speak for or against the motion? the recommendation. Councillor Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. In principle, I don't have a problem with this motion. I think that it is right that we do look at the constitution and make sure it's fit for purpose. But we do have a constitution. We do not have one. However, what concerns me the most is nobody knows what the makeup of this council is going to be going forward. And we could be faced with a number of new members who will have to have a significant amount of training. So I don't believe that calling for a date on the 20th of June is the right date to be doing it. I have got no problem with doing it within the year of the council, new council being elected, but I don't think it's appropriate that we do it for the 20th of June, Chair. So whilst in principle I can support the motion, in practice I'm not going to because the date makes it impossible for me to do so. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor Roper.
It's just a matter of if there is no business to be concluded at such a meeting, does it go ahead, or does that meeting take place and then it's decided there's no business to be concluded? I think that is one of the reasons why probably we haven't had so many meetings of the Constitution Working Parties. Nothing seems to have arisen that seems to have been of a challenging nature to Council. So are we going to call a meeting regardless of whether there is a perceived requirement for it to meet?
I see nobody else wishing to... Oh, Councillor Farnell and Councillor Andrews, I have you back.
Thank you. I totally understand where Councillor Goodrick is coming from. But I do have concerns that the Constitution isn't fit for purpose. I don't think it's good practice not to have at least one meeting of the Working Party on an annual basis, even if there is no business. I think it needs to be recorded that that meeting has taken place and there is either business or there is no business. I do take the point that the 20th of June is a little tight, but I am concerned that if we don't have a date, that it will slip off the timetable altogether. And therefore I will most probably be supporting that motion.
Councillor Paul Andrews.
Yes, Chairman. I mean, I'm sure issues arise which aren't actually sort of brought directly to the Council's full attention, but which would emerge if you had one of these meetings. For example, there was an occasion a few weeks ago when a member of this council was not allowed to speak. I know she had no vote, but she was not allowed to speak speak on behalf of residents at a planning committee meeting. And the reason for this was because it wasn't on an application; it was in regard to a particular step in the planning process that this application was going through. And it's things like that that need to be tidied up. And maybe these things should just be added onto a list, and people should add them onto the list as we go through, so that those matters can be brought up at a constitutional working party when appropriate.
Nobody else has indicated. Councillor Ives, I think you were first, then Councillor Ox.
Thank you. At the last resources working party, we looked at the terms of reference of the subcommittees and working parties of the Policy and Resources Committee. Within that, it was made clear that there are mechanisms in order for meetings of working parties or subcommittees to be called. A meeting can be called by the chairman of the committee or by a sufficient number of people on that committee or working party. So indeed there is a mechanism heading into the next council for such a meeting to be called if the chairman or members of that working party see fit. But let's not bind that future working party or the members on council. That's why we've got an election. And I do question as to whether it is the best use of council's time for the first big meeting to be regarding the constitution. Bear in mind most members could be new members, and which they'll be just trying to get to grasps of the constitution. It does take quite a while to get accustomed to, so I don't really think that's the best use of time. I have stated all along that when you look at what this council can achieve, it can do a great lot. And should the focus not be on issues such as infrastructure, such as housing, the issues that really matter to the people of Rydell, and I'm sure following the election there will be a flurry of activity and enthusiasm on behalf of the new council to get on and deliver, not start navel-gazing and looking at the constitution, particularly, like I said, when most members will be brand new to it and trying to understand. The constitution does take time, so to go into a working party where you're looking at changing it on the just in June does not seem a good timeline. There is, like I said, Mr. Chairman, a mechanism already in place for a meeting to be called.
Councillor Oxley.
I have the same concerns as Councillor Goodrick. In principle, I have no problem with this process again. I won't surprise anybody. If it's 2016 since it last met, then maybe it's due a meeting. Given what we face in May and given the makeup of the people that sat around this table might be in May, I think it is not the right time to be doing this in June. So in principle, I have no problem. If that meeting was in the second 6 months of the municipal year on this occasion, that would change my view, I suspect.
Councillor Shields.
Thank you, Chairman. I wonder if Councillor Ryde could tell us how the members of the Constitutional Working Party are actually formed. It always seemed to be in something that's so special. I know you're an expert, Chairman, but lots of other people like myself would be very interested in knowing it, what exactly is in it and having a discussion on it, and also how exactly are members chosen to go on that particular committee.
I think this is counts as a personal reply or
a question to a chairman of a committee, which doesn't make clear when that question may be asked. In response to that question, the makeup of the working parties, including the Constitution Working Party, is decided at the first meeting of the Policy and Resources Committee following annual council. So it tends to be in June of every year. You will there's a meeting of PNR where the makeup of that working party is decided. Historically, the makeup of the Constitution Working Party has been the chairman of council plus the group leaders, so it's apolitical, it's disproportionate in many, in a sense, but that has been the makeup. There has not been a meeting set in the calendar of meetings at the beginning of the year. However, like I said, there is a mechanism for meetings to be called, and I'm sure the new council, at the appropriate time, may wish to call a meeting, and there is most definitely a way to do that.
I have nobody else wishing to speak at the moment. Councillor Jarrett.
I'm interested in Councillor Ives' response to that, because in the past I had understood that that the decision to call this working party is the discretion of the chairman of that working party, and over the last 3 years it's been 2 years. Anyway, it's been his decision that there was no requirement to call the working party. So perhaps he could explain why I've got that wrong. Thank you.
Full council sets the timetable of meetings for the ensuing year. On that timetable is the resources working party. The constitution working party for the previous few years have not had dates set. I could, you are correct, as chairman of the Policy and Resources Committee and thus the Working Party, have called an extraordinary meeting. I have not seen a need to do so. Clearly, like I said, moving forward, if members on that Working Party wish to call a meeting, there is the provision to do that. That's been made clear in the terms of reference agreed by the Policy and Resources Committee. Alternatively, the new chairman may wish to call a meeting, and whatever happens in the election, there is going to be a new chairman of PNR, I can guarantee you that.
Nobody else wishes to speak. Therefore, Councillor Thornton, a seconder, do you wish to speak now?
Thank you. I'm sure that everybody agrees the Constitution is very important, and the Constitutional Working Party shouldn't be cultivating the long grass so that embarrassing or rather dull issues can be parked up there for years on end without there being a meeting. That doesn't seem to be in any sense of the word democratic, although that's what seems to have happened to a report that had been chugging its way around council and then has been mired in that long grass. We see what happens when people become expert in using the Constitution as a club or as a way of corralling people with Brexit, and that is a really difficult thing for most people to understand, how the Constitution and the rules and regulations seem to be used against members, against common sense, and against the expression of democracy. And we've seen it periodically that those skilled in the Constitution can exercise what seems to be undue control. The Constitutional Working Party, I'm sure, has got work to do. I'm sure it has had work to do, and people recognise that there are shortcomings in the Constitution currently, and it was given a report to consider in 2016 or earlier. So I cannot understand why the response has been, don't let's have a working party meeting. So I would ask group leaders, if there isn't a constitutional working party in that year, timetabled, to ask for it. Because other things might arise that could be reasonably considered in that working party. Thank you.
Councillor Clark is proposing you have the right to reply.
Thank you, Chair. The concern I've got here is that the Constitution Working Party, I was going to say, last met in June, July 16. It hasn't actually completed that meeting yet because it was adjourned and we haven't seen the minutes for it. Overview and Scrutiny did a piece of work. I wasn't involved with that, but I suspect Councillor Jowett and others in here were involved with it. And it drew up conclusions to go to Council. And they have been, and I quote, kicked into the long grass. That isn't something that's waiting to come up for when the Constitution Working Party next meets. That's something that should be done 2 years ago, 18 months, etc., right through. So to do it in June would at least mean it would be done within the 3 years since the last Working Party. And if we put on here, and that's what I kicked off with through you, Chair, to Councillor Goodrick, I put on here originally just the within 1 year. And everybody said, well, there we are, that'll kick it down the road 4 years. Because if it says within 1 year, it can quite happily, in the wrong hands, be March 2020. Now, on that basis, Chair, we have a need for that meeting then. If the Chief Executive and the Chair of P&R wish to postpone it at that point and have good reasons for postponing it, let them do it, but they'll have to be seen to do it. Rather than it just be kicked into the long grass and nobody seeing what's happening. So we have got a Standards Committee without a substitute. We have got a constitution that says that members can attend meetings as observers, not happening. And we've got a report from Overview and Scrutiny that isn't the property of P&R, is the property of Overview and Scrutiny, and it's been kicked into the long grass for over 2 years. Those are not things that need to be waiting until sometime in the first 6 months or sometime or whatever, and that is the reason for putting a date on it. And I would ask you, Chair, now I was going to suggest letting people off the hook by splitting the two. No, I'm not. Because I think if we treat the Constitution as the plaything of P&R when it belongs to the Planning Committee, because all the handling of all their forward plans and everything else all fits into that, and overview and scrutiny...
Good round-up now.
Thank you, Chair. Their overview and scrutiny reports have got to go to there. To have the power to bin those is totally unacceptable. And on that basis, we'd like to have a recorded vote on this, because we feel very strongly about it.
The motion has been moved, seconded and debated. Please vote now.
Chairman, that's 14 votes for, 7 against and 1 abstention.
The motion is carried. Councillor Jout, yes? Yes, I will, Dorothy. I will indeed, yeah. I do have another item, but I'll allow you to speak first because I want to have the last say. So, Councillor Jowett.
That's very kind of you, Chair. This is definitely my last meeting because my candidacy is not open this time. I've attended the council over the last 4 years and found my time here both interesting and occasionally enjoyable. In particular, I've enjoyed the last couple of years working on overview and scrutiny with John and the other members that have formed that team. Yeah, even you, John. So, but as you're all probably aware, with my appearance over the last year or so with the extreme loss of weight and no hair, I've not been all that well. And although I'm a lot better now, I am better. I have decided to stand down. But I would just like to thank the members for their good wishes along the way during this time. And for those who haven't, well, I'm sorry if I've disappointed you by returning to complete my term. But thanks very much.
I think that was entirely appropriate that it came. That's Councillor Goodrick.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to say, since we're doing this, that there are a number of members who are not returning to this council, having served this council loyally over a number of years. We haven't always agreed and we haven't always voted with one another, but we have debated and I have respected everybody's views. So to those members who are not choosing to return, can I say thank you? Thank you from me for educating me as I've gone along, and thank you for representing the electorate so well. We've all had our part to play, and I'd like to recognise everybody who's not going to be with us because they've chosen not to stand for election, and wish everybody else good luck.
Again, moving on from there, I wish to thank the following members who are standing down. And I will name names, and for the record, I want to thank them. Councillors Jeff Aikam, Councillor Val Arnold, Councillor Luke Ives, Councillor Tarek Janodin, Councillor Ed Jowett, Councillor Brian Maud, who unfortunately is not here, so it's as well it's recorded. Councillor Janet Sanderson, Councillor Tim Thornton, and Councillor Robert Wainwright. Again, it's a personal thanks. I've learnt a lot from them in the 4 years I've been a newbie. And as chairman, I thank them for their immense service, some of them for a long, long time, to the council. And with that, I'm going to end the business
Chair,
of the evening.
Chair, as you've moved that, I'd like to second it.
You can second it, and that's...
And on that basis, Chair, could we take a vote?
We will take a vote.
I think it would be very appropriate to say to those people, some of them who've been here considerably longer than even at my tender years have been,
and I have appreciated, and I can look at the people who've been here for a long time and thank them for the welcome
absolutely.
I got then and wish them well. Thank
you. We will move to the vote now. No, he won't get the last word, will he, though? Not at all. You won't have the last word. Please vote now.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
The motion is carried. I have the last word. Thank you all very much for your attendance. Have a safe trip home.